Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long once more to be.
Once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me. How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we come to your word this evening, we're asking the Holy Spirit to be with us, to open our hearts and minds to be receptive, so that we can gain, Father, in knowledge, in strength. And most especially, Father, in the strength of faith, so that we can accomplish and do the things that you would have each of us to do. Now, Father, be with us throughout this season as we study your word. And Father, if we've done anything that has been displeasing in your eyes, forgive us, Father, and let us know what it is so we don't do it again. And Father, I ask all of this in the sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Get ready now for communion. To take your bread, because we know Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Take your bread.
Thank you.
After the same manner, get your cup now. Also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Drink your cup. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes.
Amen.
And praise the Lord. We give all the praise because for you and I, he is our salvation. Because it's through him that we can obtain that salvation. All right. We're going to be in Romans chapter 2. It's 29 verses in chapter 2. It starts off here with judgment. And letting you and I know not to be judging others. And here in verse 1. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, or wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest dost the same things. 2. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. Paul warns us there in verse 1 as he turns his attention to the self-righteous moralist. And he also is warning you and I about escaping the judgment of God, because the Jewish tradition taught that Abraham sat at the gate of hell to prevent any Jews from entering. They were not ignorant of God, but of God's design to bring them to repentance. You see, they didn't really understand. And in their tradition, they was being taught that Abraham, because of his fellowship with God, that he was sitting outside the gate of hell to keep the Jews from going in. Because they did not understand about repentance or anything that way. Now here in verse 3. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgeth them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? 5. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasureth up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Now, he's putting things pretty plain here and letting us know that in our judgment and judging others, we're also judging ourselves and really bringing condemnation upon ourselves. Because we may not be doing the exact same thing they are, but for the most part, most were doing that or even things that was worse. Now, 6. Who will render to every man according to his deeds? You see, in this perennial discourse setting forth the controlling principle of God's judgment, Paul explains how and why God will judge, and how he can judge both Jew and us Gentiles and be completely fair in the process. The controlling principle will be according to deeds, because deeds give incorruptible proof of what is in the heart. Now, what kind of deeds do we really have? Here's verse 7. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. 8. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. You see, being disobedient unto the word of God brings to each one indignation and wrath. Now, 9. Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. 10. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. Because you see, since the beginning of the church age, when the Gentiles were accepted, and now have the apostles teaching them, we are part of the family of Almighty God. Now, and we will get the same treatment as the Jews get. Now, we're talking about the Christian Jews, because you see, still most of the nation of Israel at the day is still trying to live by the law instead of by grace. But there is quite a few that are believers and that are Christians. Now, for the regenerate, the judgment will result in eternal life. And for the unregenerated, it will result in indignation back to the Jew first. Unbelieving Jews will have prominence in condemnation. Believing Jews will have prominence in reward. So you see, whether we walk in wrath or whether we walk with awards depends on our belief, our faith, and all in the Lord God, and how we walk and carry our lives here on earth. Now, but we don't have the right to judge no one. It don't matter where they come from. What nation, what color, or anything else. And those that will accept the Lord Jesus Christ, they are our brothers and sisters because they have been and become part of God's family. And as a family member, that's exactly what we are. Now, for there is no respect of persons with God. You see, he doesn't choose either. There's no respect of persons. It don't matter who you are. You either are with him or you are against him.
That's not what he said.
And it don't matter, you know, what color your skin is or anything else. Now, well, for as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. Now, 13. For not the hearers of the law are judged before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. Getting noise. All right, now. You know, God can judge on the basis of works because he is impartial and because the law is immaterial. The Gentile will not be judged on the basis of the Jews' law, and the Jews will not be excused by the Gentiles' lack of the law. Works demonstrate the heart's true condition. Conscience is sufficient grounds for condemnation because it establishes a framework of right and wrong and reflects the law written in their hearts. There's a lot in this. And it brings out quite a bit when you get into this subject of judgment, doesn't it? Now, 14. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves. And that, as we all know, just will not work. When we try to become a law unto ourselves. Because within ourselves, we're just not there. For you and I to be the child of God that we should be, it takes the Lord Jesus Christ, it takes the Holy Spirit, and Almighty God to keep us in the way. Now, as we read in there in 15, which shows the works of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. 16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Now, Paul is saying his gospel. And it is because it is given to him by the Holy Spirit, and he records it as it is given to him. But it is all the word of Almighty God. Now, 17. Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God. We know the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection fulfilled the law. And now, even now today, they are to come into salvation just like you and I, because the law cannot give them salvation. That's why Jesus came. There was a lot of things the law could not do. And we are told that in quite a few places in the Bible about the law and all. But we know that God lets us know about these things. He told us that in Hebrews chapter 10 and right in verse 1. For the law, having a shadow things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offer year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more consciousness of sin. See what I'm talking about here? What Paul was talking about? 17. Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God. 18. And knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law. You know, five phrases express the Jews, five God-given privileges. Called a Jew emphasizes a national difference resulting from the theocratic appointment of Genesis. Restless in the law, the Jews have the objective revelation of God's law, whereas the Gentiles had only the verbal law of conscience. Makest thy boast of God. God was revealed as the God of Israel, and Israel was the only nation to have unique relationship to the only God of the universe. Now, knowest his will and approval, the things that are more excellent. They give approval to the things that were in keeping with the character of God, because they were instructed out of the law. And the law was their teacher and taught them God's specific will. And you see, it did, but they couldn't, it's not the idea they couldn't, but they wouldn't keep it. they were doing just like a lot are being done today. They won't accept the Lord Jesus Christ because they're rejecting the Word of God. They're rejecting God Himself and the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, it's because they choose it. Well, it's the same thing with those that were under the law. They could have chosen to have kept it. But it involved a lot, and they didn't want to take the time and do things as God set down for them to do. And when we don't do the things that God wants us to do, we're asking for trouble. Now, 19 says, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness. An instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. You see, he's talking here about the law. And he's letting us know that them which are in darkness is a reference to those without a specific revelation from God. Form of knowledge, as Jesus was in the form of God, the Jews resist in the law the very form of that sacred knowledge which would impart salvation. Now, but you see, it never did. Because they was not even trying to keep it all. And they were setting up their own traditions of things. And that's where a few moments back he was talking about them becoming a law unto themselves. Because they were taking the law and taking part of it. They was not accepting that what the Lord Jesus was telling them. And then they was adding tradition and things to the law, which is bringing them to that point of becoming a law unto themselves. Very, very foolish. But we got a lot of foolishness going on today also. Because man is doing the same identical thing. He's choosing his way until he is establishing his own law. And that will not work. And we're told that over and over. In fact, by the time we get to the New Testament, we're going to hear that probably 1,000 times. That ought to really stick with us. Now, thou therefore, which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? A lot of them do. 22. Thou that saith a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhors idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? How much of this that we have read here in this verse? Verse 22. How much of that have you seen going on in a lot of our churches today? A lot of it. And especially the adultery part. and the idols. Because you see, we make things of this world an idol because we want it so bad, and we will put it before the Lord our God. And when we do that, we've made an idol out of it. Now, 23. Thou that makest thy boast of the law, though breaking the law, dishonoreth God. And there's not a one of them that is trying to stay under the law that is not breaking the law. Lots of parts of it. And they dishonoreth God. Now, 24. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. You see, it's through them the name of God is blasphemed. Now, 25. For circumcision barely profited, if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. You can be circumcised, but if you break the law, it's just the same as if you had not been circumcised. But you and I, as Gentiles, we didn't never have to be actually circumcised. Most male children are circumcised as a babe, but it's done for health reasons, not for religious reasons, because we did not need to be circumcised for religious purposes. Now, 26, therefore, if the uncircumcision keeps the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? Yes, today that is true. Because today, mankind don't have to be circumcised. Now, 28. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. Now, 29, the last verse of this chapter. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart. You've heard me preach that many times. We don't have to be circumcised in the flesh anymore, but we all, in order to make heaven our home, we have to be circumcised of the heart. That old man's sin and evil has got to be put out of the heart. Now, in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. I don't need man's praise. But I do need the praise of Almighty God. And I need his love. I need his leading me. I need his fellowship and his friendship. Those are the things I need in my life here while I am walking this earth. And especially when we are called of God for a specific purpose and reason. And if you feel you've been called of God for something and you don't know what it is, spend more time in honest and sincere prayer and the study of God's Word, and He'll give it to you. He'll let you know why He has called you. And He'll let you know why He called you for that purpose. These are things we really need to think about every day of our lives so that we don't make mistakes. We don't have errors. And most especially so we don't have any evil in us. We don't want no evil in us. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we come to a close now, I thank you, Father, for your word. I thank you for the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And Father, I do pray for Israel and Jerusalem. I pray for them to have peace, Father, because we know right now they are under attack. A lot of destruction going on there. And Father, but even more than peace, I pray that they will all accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah. And Father, repent and bring that unto the land. And that land then can be healed. And this land is ours, Father. It needs that healing power also, because it turned its back and walked away with no excuse whatsoever. It had none. And Father, we needed to repent so our land can be healed. But Father, we need those that are sitting in offices in high places to be removed from those offices and replaced with those that are walking in righteousness, that loves you, loves the Lord Jesus, loves the church, your people, and this land. And work with us to bring our government and put it back upon the foundation, Father, in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, I pray for each and every one that is in my heart. I lift them up and ask, Father, that they all walk in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they will walk, Father, serving you so that they can walk, Father, in health, in healing, in closeness of the Lord Jesus Christ, helping others to receive the light of Jesus in their lives so that they not be lost. And for our families, Father, we all have family members that are lost, walking in darkness. I pray that the Holy Spirit can work with them and bring them all to a saving knowledge of Jesus. Our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, brothers and sisters, and each member of our family, Father, we don't want to see none like. Now, Father, keep us all in the hall of your hand through this night. Bring us together again in the morning and back into your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
All right. Have a great, great night, all. Walk with God and he'll walk with you. Good night, all.